16th chapter of Hilchos Gzeila Vaveda, the laws involving stolen and lost objects. Today's pedek will go further with the laws of lost objects, and it contains 11 halachas. Perek Shisha Asr, the 16th chapter. Before we go into these halachas, it might be wise to briefly review some of the general principles regarding lost and found objects. First of all, only when the owner has given up hope of getting his object returned do we say that one is allowed to keep an object he has found. This is known as yiyush. The real owner has given up hope of its return. How do we know if he has given up hope or not? One thing we can look at is whether the object which is lost can be identified. Does it have a simen or does it not have a simen? Would it, after announcing that one has found a certain type of object, would he be able to come and give a sign to prove that this is his object? For example, if one says that he found a few coins, if he found $1 bills, coming and saying that it has my dollar bills have a picture of George Washington would not be a sufficient sign because all $1 bills have such a picture. However, if one could give the exact number of bills, for example, this would be an identifying trademark. Even if the objects do not have an identifying trademark, if it is apparent that they have been deliberately placed in a certain spot, also one may not touch them. That since the owner could come and identify exactly where he put them, therefore, if it's apparent that they have been dropped there, then one is allowed to take them. Whereas, if they have been apparently placed there deliberately, one may not take them. Halacha Aleph. If one finds any of the following objects which do not have any distinguishing trademarks, machtim, referring to needles, all of which look basically alike, tsinaires, are little sorts of forks which are used in order to spin thin strands of gold, masmarim, are little nails, all of which look identical. All nails look alike, basically. Imotzem echad echad. If one finds them one at a time, one machet, one sinor, one masmer, hare elu shalei, they belong to whoever finds them, because no one could give an identifying mark for these objects. Shnaim shnaim o yeser. But if one finds them in pairs or in more than pairs, chayev lahachriz, he is required to announce that he has found them. As we have said in earlier chapters, how exactly this announcement of the lost object should be made, he is required to do so. Sheminyan simen, because the number of objects is also a sufficient sign. So if he says that there were two needles or five needles, and he shows the correct number, this indicates clearly that they are his, since he knows the exact number. Next halacha deals with money which is found, coins, halacha base. If one finds money which is scattered around in various places, this money all belongs to him, the one that found it. The coins, first of all, have no distinguishing signs. All these coins look alike. And even though we might want to say the owner could identify the number of coins, he cannot do that either, because we don't know if all these coins came from the same place. They're spread around in various places. And afilu hoyu miktsas matbeyes zel gabe zeh. Even if a few of the coins were on top of each other, in pairs, harehem kemifuzorin, they nevertheless are considered to be scattered around, since they are not all together. But if we find the money all piled up together, he is responsible to announce that he has found this money, and the one that claims it must notify how much money exactly was there. From now till the end of this halacha, the Rambam gives us various cases that showing that the coins have been placed in a particular configuration, therefore indicating that they have been intentionally placed there by the owner. And as we learned in the previous pedek, that only derech nefila, if it is apparent that they have fallen there, can one claim them as lost objects. Which is not the case derech hanocha, if they've been deliberately placed there, one is not allowed to take the object. If one finds three coins, one on top of another, they are made in the shape of a tower, which many of the commentaries explain to mean, explain it according to the opinion of the Gemara, that this is only if there is the largest coin on the bottom, the medium-sized one in the middle, and the smallest one on top. If they are all the same size, this is no proof that they did not fall in such a way on top of each other.
Or another possibility, there was one coin on one side, one on the other side, and a third resting on both of them. Or one of them was at least, although not totally on top of the other two coins, a little bit of one coin is on, leaning on a little bit of the other coin. Meaning the top one, the third one apparently, has a tiny bit leaning on the left coin and a tiny bit on the right. Not completely as in the previous case. If you would put a piece of wood underneath them, you could lift all three simultaneously. In any of these cases, chayev lahachriz, one must make an announcement that one has found these coins, since obviously they have been placed there intentionally. Let's say they fell in any of the following configurations. Hayasuyin kashir. It fell in a circular sort of arrangement. A kashura, in a straight line. A kachatsuva, or in a triangular fashion. A kasulam, like a ladder, meaning that one is resting on top of the other, and so on, like steps. Harezeh sofik. All of these cases are doubtful cases. The Gemara asks these questions, and the Gemara does not settle whether they are considered to have fallen there by accident, or were intentionally placed there. Any of these could happen by accident as well. And therefore, since the Gemara remains at a doubtful conclusion, it is also a doubt as far as the halacha is concerned, and therefore one may not take them. Halacha Gimel, if one finds money in a wallet, or one finds an empty wallet, a wallet just as it is without any money, one must announce its find, since in these cases it can certainly be identified by the owner. Either there are signs on the wallet, or the amount of money which is in the wallet, or the money will go together with the wallet, therefore giving the signs for the wallet will get the person his money back as well. Let's say the wallet and the money are separate. Motza keys, so lufan of mos mefuzorim. We find a wallet, and in front of the wallet are various coins which have been spread around. In this case, the money itself belongs to the one that finds it, since the money is mefuzarim, the coins. Therefore, just as we mentioned in the halacha above, halacha base, the money the owner does not have any claim to the money. The keys, the wallet, he must return. But the money is considered separate from the wallet. However, ve'im marin hadvarim, but if the appearance of things is, sha'akis v'amoz shel odem echad, that the same person that owns the coins owns the wallet, u'min hakis noflu, and this money fell out of this wallet, chayev lahachris, in this case he must make an announcement that he has found the objects. As we mentioned, a similar case in the previous perek, if we have a vessel with fruit in it, the fruit is considered to be separate from the vessel. Unless we have some proof from the configuration, the relationship of one to another, that the fruit fell from the basket. And so too here in the case of money. The next halacha deals with money which was found inside a store. Halacha dalet. Hamaitze maas pachanus. One finds money inside a store. To clarify the halacha, we must understand the configuration of such a store. A storekeeper, the chenveni, has a teva or box corresponding to today's counter in a store, or a table, in which all transactions take place. Now, it depends if it is found behind the counter or in front of the counter. Im hayu bein teva lechenveni, if the money was found between this counter and the store owner, harehen shel balachanus, undoubtedly the money belongs to the storekeeper, because people normally do not go behind the counter, and who else would have lost money there? It must be the owner of the store. Be motzan al hateva, but if they are found on top of the counter, vein tzarech leimer matevo lochutz, and even more so if they are found outside, on the other side of the counter, where the customers are, harehein shel meitzan, they belong to whoever finds it. That since so many people walk into a store normally, and money which cannot be identified, as we mentioned earlier in this pedic, has been dropped, when the owner realizes he has dropped the money there, he will automatically give up hope of getting it back. However, we have another question. The law is that a person's property can acquire lost objects for him, even though He is unaware that an object has been lost there. This is the law. Why is it that his property, the store itself, does not mean that the owner of the store automatically acquires the property? Like any other case, that one's property merits the lost object to him, even if he doesn't know it's there. The reason that Rambam says it depends what sort of property the person has. There is a difference between a chotzer mishtameres and a chotzer she'ena mishtameres, one which is guarded and one which is not guarded. If it is one which is not guarded that people go in and out of, and it is open to many, many people, in this case, the field does not acquire it for its owner. And so too this person's store. Lefi she'ena chotzer mishtameres. This store is not like a guarded courtyard. And furthermore, and even though the owner of the store is inside of the store at the time, nevertheless, it still does not automatically acquire it for him. Since, as we said, it is not like a guarded courtyard, since there are so many people going in and out of the store. And even though the storekeeper is within the store, Tzarech Leimar, he has to say explicitly, Tikna li chanusi, that let my store acquire the object for me, Komoshi Yisbor, as the Rambam will explain in Perek Yud Zayin. Halacha hei, somewhat of a similar case, now not a regular store owner, but a shulchani. A shulchani is somebody who changes money, and the table upon which he does business is known as a kisei, or a chair. If we find money, a person finds money in the store of a money changer, if it is found between the kisei, the table upon which the business is done, and the one who is changing the money, it belongs to the one who is changing the money changer. However, if it is found on top of the table upon which the money changer does business, in this case the Rambam is going to say, it belongs, as we said in the previous halacha, to whoever buys, whoever found this money. Furthermore, says the Rambam, this applies even if the money has a simen, even if it has a sign on it. Even though the money was tied together, it was bound up, wrapped up, and left there on the table, nevertheless, they belong to whoever finds them. However, this is only when the majority of the people in the city, or in that particular place, the majority of people that would use this money changer, for example, the majority of them are not Jewish, as we explained previously. Because if the majority of people there are goyim, whoever lost an object, even if it does have an identifiable sign, it has yiyush, gives up hope of getting the object back, since it's most likely that a goy has found it, as we explained in Perek Yud Dalit. However, if the majority of people there were Jewish, one must make an announcement that the money is found. That since the money was all tied together, they do have a sign, they can be identified, and therefore he must give the Jew the chance to find it, since it was Rav Yisrael, the majority of people, they were Jewish, he has not had Yiyush, he has not given up hope of reclaiming the object, therefore an announcement must be made. Halacha Vav. Halakeich peres mechaveri. One person buys fruit from another. Vishasholach lechaveri peres. Or someone else sent him fruit. And in the middle of the fruit was a special gift. He found within this pile of fruit, this basket of fruit, he found up money which was tied up, bound up. In this case, he takes the money and he makes an announcement that he has found money. And since it is tsrureis, the money is bound, it is wrapped up, the owner will be able to identify the money, either by giving the amount of money that was there, or by explaining how it was tied together, what sort of knot was tied, and so forth. However, matzon mifuzares, if the money is not found wrapped up, it was just loose there in the pile of fruit, hare elu shalei, it belongs to the person who has the fruit. Again, since there is no sign, it is impossible to make a notification or announcement that he has found fruit in order that people should be able to, that he has found money, that people should be able to give identifying signs. However, why do we not assume that the same person that gave him the fruit owns the money? Saramam explains, this does not apply in every case. But medvarim amurim, when do we say that the money belongs to the person that found it, even though he knows who sold him the fruit? Keshahayu aperus min atagar. When this fruit came from a tagar is a person who buys fruit from many different people. And therefore, the fact that the money probably came together with the fruit, and the fruit came from this tagar, but the tagar himself didn't originally own the fruit, somebody else owned the fruit. And this fruit could have come from any of a number of other people. And so too the money came together with the fruit, certainly. But who said it came from the one that sold it to him? Perhaps it came to the one that he bought the fruit from. And none of these people, the suppliers to this tagar, can identify the money since it has no signs. So therefore, in these cases, he himself can take it if there are no signs. When he took it from a tagar, or mi bala baya shalokha min a tagar, or he bought it or received a gift from a regular homeowner who bought it from a tagar. And again, although we know the fruit came from this person, but it didn't come from him, perhaps the money is not his, it came from the tagar, it's the tagar's money, or it's just from one of the many people that the tagar bought his fruit from. Therefore, in these cases, the money does not go together with the fruit. But if a person himself has taken care of the own fruit personally, he has prepared it, literally dosh, he has threshed it himself to purify and remove it, any of the chaff or inedible material from the fruit or the grain, or yedei avoda v'shivches of aknanim, or it was prepared through his non-Jewish male or female slaves, harizeh chayev lahachzir. In this case, he is required to return the money to the one that sold him or gave him the fruit. That since obviously he has not taken the fruit from anyone before him, it's obviously his money. Perhaps It was found by one of his non-Jewish slaves, but the law by an Eved Kanani or a Shivcha is that whatever they find automatically belongs to their master. And therefore, ultimately, the money belongs to him, the same one that gave him or sold him the fruit. And therefore, he can acquire the possession of it. Incidentally, it is clear that if there was a Jewish slave, an Eved Ivri, that it was preparing the fruit, then not necessarily does the money go back to the Balabayas. Because again, we don't know whether it belonged to the Jewish slave, or it belonged to the owner, or that the Jewish slave found it, and he is allowed to keep a metziah. Therefore, the laws as given at the beginning of this halacha would apply. Halacha Zayin. A person finds a treasure, begal, in a pile of stones, or bakesel yashan, or hidden inside the width of a very old wall. Hara elu shalei. They belong to whoever finds it. And even though we might think they belong to the one who owns the wall of the house, nevertheless, shani emer shol goyim hakadmeinim hain, we will answer that person that it belongs probably to goyim, to the non-Jewish nations who used to live in this house many years before. V'hu sheimsa eisan mata mata, and this is only, however, when he found them very, very low, hidden down in a low place, kederach kol admat meines hayesheines, as is normal with all ancient treasures, that they are hidden very, very close to the earth, as that was evidently the way of hiding things in those days, towards the bottom of the structure. Aval im marin hadavarim shehein matman chodesh. But if the apparent appearance of things is that this is a brand new treasure, or somewhat in the recent past, not in the times when the Emeirim placed it over there, as Rashi brings down in Chumash, from the Gemara, that when the nation of Emir heard that the Jews were coming into the land of Israel, they hid all of their treasures in order to bring it back later. And the law is, the lost object of a goy is mutter, a Jew is allowed to have benefit from it. And certainly, this is included. However, if it is apparent from this treasure that it was not placed that far back in the past, and a feeling is topic le'adavar, even if it is a doubt as far as he is concerned, whether possibly it was placed there intentionally by a Jew, harizel yigabahen, kamesh munachem hemsham, one may not touch this treasure, because perhaps it has been intentionally placed there by a Jew. As we explained in previous parakim, that there is a difference between having been placed there intentionally and unintentionally, that if we know it was intentionally placed there, one is not allowed to touch the lost object. Halacha ches. However, since we know that the courtyard of a person obtains the object for him, even if he does not know it's there, as we will explain in Perek Yud Zayin, and as we mentioned in Halacha Dalet, regarding lost money inside a store, that the store, we asked over there, the store should acquire any lost objects for him. And we answered it could not, because it was not Mishnah Medes, it's not totally guarded. And so too, over here, we will ask, that since the courtyard of a person can acquire any lost objects for him, why not in this case as well? Loma lo yikna bala chotzer. Why should not the person that owns the courtyard gain acquisition over this treasure which is found inside this old wall? Even though it belonged previously to the Goyim, and therefore it was a lost object, nevertheless, since it's his chotzer, he has the right, his chotzer automatically gains control over anything found in it to him. And therefore this lost object should belong to the owner of the courtyard. Why is that not the case? And we say whoever finds it is allowed to keep it. So the answer is, that this was not known to him, and it was not known to anyone else either. Nobody knew that this treasure was there. And since no one knew about it, this treasure was lost not only from him but from everybody. And therefore it belongs to the one that finds it. Why is this? Because the Rambam will repeat now something that he mentioned earlier in these halachas, that we learn from a pasuk that when something is completely lost, not only lost from the owner, but lost from everyone, that no one has any ability to regain this object. In this case, the owner of the courtyard does not gain control and ownership of this object. The laws of acquiring a lost object are only present if there is literally a lost object. But over here, this is not technically in the category of a lost object. As the Rambam now explains, Uma aveda shel odom. Just as in a case where a person, a live person, has lost an object, Omra Teira, the Teira says in Zvarim Chav Beis Pasuk Gimel, Asher Teivad Mimenu Umatzosa. Regarding this lost object, the Torah says that when he lost an object, Umatzosa, and it was found. So which kind of situation is this speaking about? Misha Vud Mimenu Umatzuya Eitzel Kol Adam. An object which he has lost, but it is within the capability of other people to find. He has lost it, then we have the law of a lost object. But other people are capable of finding it. Which case does this exclude? Yotza Zu, this comes to exclude the case. Shenafla Layam, that it fell into the ocean. Because in this case, not only is he lost it, Shavud Mimenu Umikol Adam. It is lost from him and from everyone else as well. As the Rambam said, explained previously in Perek Yud Dalet, Halacha Dalet, that in this case, we do not have the regular law of a lost object, since not only is it lost from him, it's lost from everybody in the world. It's in the ocean. If that's the case, when by a live person, he is still alive. But since it is not only lost from him, it is lost from everyone else. It doesn't come under the regular law of a lost object. Then kal v'chaymer l'matman kadmaini. Even more so to an ancient treasure, shalei haya shalama eilam, that never ever belonged to the one that owns this chatzer, v'hu avud mimenu mikol adam, that it is lost from him and it is lost from everyone else. If in the case where a live person drops something in the ocean, we say that since the Torah said, it has been lost from him, to exclude a case where nobody knows where it is, and nobody has the capability to retrieve it, as in the case where it fell to the sea, even this live person loses any right, any special claim over the object. Even more so, this person who owns the courtyard, we cannot say that his courtyard has acquired the object from him under the law of Metzia, of a law of a found object. Because it's not only lost from him, it's lost from everyone else. And here the original, he never even owned it. It belonged originally to the Goyim. And therefore he has no right to it whatsoever. That he has even less right than a person who was alive and dropped something into the sea. Since the Torah says it must be lost from him, but found by other people. Whereas in this case, it is lost to everybody. No one had any idea that such a thing even existed. Laficha chusho meitzei, and therefore it belongs to the one that found it. halachates. Now, what happens if when we find something in the middle of the wall, and it's a new wall? So certainly it wasn't there from the times of the goyim akadmeinim, from goyim from many years ago. It was put there recently. How can we determine the owner? Halachates. Matza matmein bakesel chadesh. We find the treasure in a new wall. It was put there recently. Now we look to see in which way, where is it more likely that this treasure came from? If this found object indicates that it belongs to the owner of the house, it belongs to the owner of the house. If it indicates that it belongs to somebody from the marketplace, somebody from the street, then it belongs to the one that found it. Ketzad. For example, Hasakin, if he found a knife hidden in the wall, in other words, there was a hole made in the wall, and there's a knife there. Hareyanetziv shalei mechiyach. The sheath of the knife will prove to us who it belongs to. Should the empty knife holder be facing towards the inside of the house, then obviously it belongs to the owner of the house. And he would probably stick the knife in there because he had no other place to put it. Alternatively, if the empty part of the sheath is facing the outside of the wall, then probably it was put there by somebody that was passing by. And therefore, it would belong to the one that finds it, not to the owner of the house. So to Vahakis, if one finds a wallet, Piv Mechiach, the opening of the wallet will determine who it belongs to. If the opening is facing the inside of the house, obviously it was being utilized by the owner of the house. And if it was facing the outside, evidently some passerby put it there for safekeeping. Perhaps he passed by a minute before Shabbos or something and couldn't hold it. And therefore he put it there in the opening in the wall. And therefore it belongs to the one that found it. The Magid Mishnah brings down in this point the question of many commentaries that why should he be able to take it just because it's facing the outside? Why should it belong to the finder? After all, this is an object which has signs. It has a simon, and one could she should be required not to keep it himself, but to make an announcement. He should be machris and announce that he has found this object. And then anyone could come and give identifying traits of the object, tell how much money was in the wallet or what the wallet it looked like, or the size of the knife, or something of the sort, and thereby claim it. Why does the Rambam say that the one that finds it is allowed to keep the object? And then he brings two answers to the Magid Mishnah. One answer he brings is that we're speaking about a case where it is obvious from the appearance of the object that it has been there for a long period of time. The money has developed rust, or the knife is rusty, or something of the sort. And therefore, since it's been for so long, we assume that the original owner has been miyayish. He has given up any hope of getting this object back. It has been such a long period of time. And as we've mentioned on many occasions, after yiyush, after the owner has given up hope, whoever finds it acquires the object. Another answer he gives is that since this wall is evidently facing a public domain and many people are walking by, then it has the law of it being lost in a city where the majority of people are non-Jewish. And in such a case, as we mentioned earlier in these halachas, even though the object has a sign, if the majority of the people are not Jewish, then the one that lost the object assumes that a non-Jew found it. And he is not, certainly this non-Jew is not going to make an announcement. He has no mitzvah of returning a lost object. He is not going to make an announcement that he found the object, and therefore he has given up hope of retrieving this object. And after Yiyush, the one that finds it acquires the object. Incidentally, the statement I just made that a non-Jew is not required to return the object is not entirely correct. This is a matter of dispute among the halacha commentaries about whether the B'nai Noach, non-Jews, are required to keep all the monetary laws of the Torah. Are they required to keep the Shulchan Aruch regarding monetary laws just as we are? Or do they have the right to make up their own laws? In any case, this is a machlokes apeiskim discussed in the halacha commentaries in Shuvas HaRamah and so on. But regardless of the law, certainly a person would not expect, it's a machlekes among the peiskim, certainly we wouldn't expect a non-Jew to know the halacha and realize that he must know the halacha in Shulchan Aruch and return the lost object. The last phrase in this halacha test is a little bit of a puzzling phrase, and the Kesef Mishnah says it is out of place and really belongs at the end of halacha yud. In any case, the part says ve'im nimsa techa kesel mole mehen, and if the lost objects, apparently referring to money over here, is found within the wall, filling up the entire inside space of the wall, chalkin, they divide, they make an even division between the owner of the house and the one that found the money, since it is equally divided within the wall. We will understand this more clearly after learning halacha yud. If within the wall was money, or lashenis is literally tongues, meaning flat pieces of gold, that there is no proof from which side of the wall this came. Did it come from the outside? Did it come to the inside? This is loose money or loose gold. It doesn't face either way. It faces equally to both sides. So in this case, we cannot look, as we can in the case of the knife sheath or the wallet, which side of it is facing, which is the opening facing the inside or the outside. This is equally facing both sides. So what do we do? The part of the which is in the outer half of the wall belongs to the one that bought it, that found it. That since it's on the outside half of the wall, evidently it was placed there from people that were walking by. But that money which is found on the inside half of the wall belongs to the balabayas, to the owner of the house, since probably he put it there. And then, according to the Kesef Mishnah, the last piece of halacha test fits in. But if the entire inside of the wall was full of money, chalkin, they divide evenly all of the money that was found there. Now the question is, what right does the owner of the house have to this money? Do we say that, as we mentioned in halacha previously, that chotzer shel adam kainer leishalom midaite, that the property of a person acquires a lost object for him, even if he is unaware of it, as we mentioned exceptions to this law in halacha dalit, since it was not mishtameres, and an exception in halacha ches, because nobody knew about the lost object, since it was there from such a long time ago. Do we say that the reason the balabayas has a right to this money was because it's his wall, he owns the wall, and therefore he acquires possession of it? Should this be the case, and this is the reason we give the money to the balabayas, even if he says it's not his money, we would give the money to him. Since he is not claiming ownership, that it is personally his and that he has lost it, he is merely claiming a legal claim, that since he owns the chotzer, in this case the wall, it's his property, he owns everything which is within. So the Magid Mishnah points out that the Rambam holds not like that. That this is not the reason the balabayas has a right to it. That because if this was the case, if it was because it's his chotzer, it's his property, then we wouldn't only give him what's on the inside half of the wall, we would give him what's on the outside half of the wall as well. He owns the entire wall, and we would have to give him anything which is found within this wall. Therefore, the Rambam learns from this that derives from this fact that we give the outside half, that's which is found in the outside half of the wall, we give to the finder. The Rambam derives from this that the reason we give the money to the balabayas is because he claims that it's his. He says that it is his money and he placed it in the wall. And therefore the Rambam derives the following halacha yud aleph. The Yirali, it appears to me, says the Rambam, She'ein hadvorim amurim, that this, that we say that the balabayas has some right to this which is found in the wall, this only applies ela b'shatan balabayas shamatman shaloi, when the owner of the house claims that this found object is his. Or alternatively, Oishahoya Yadish. It's a case that somebody inherited the house. And of course, a child would not know whether his father put the money in the wall or not. And in such a case, Anu Tayinin Lay, us, we the Bezdin, the Jewish court, make the claim for him. We verbalize and express his claim that Shem Eshel Avivain, perhaps this money belonged to his father. Then only in such a case, says the Rambam, would we give the money to the owner of the house. But if the owner of the house agrees and admits that this is a found object, that it wasn't his, automatically they belong to the one that found the money. The money belongs to whoever found it. And again, the reason is because we cannot say that he has a right to it because it's in his wall. Because the Mishnah and the Gemara say clearly that it belonged, that the part on the outside half of the wall belonged to the one that found the money. And therefore we cannot say he has it by din chotzer. The only reason he has the right to it is because we say it is most likely he placed it there since it's on the inside half of the wall. Should he admit that he didn't place it there, then he has no right to the money, says the Rambam. Lefichach, and based on the same reasoning, im hoyem maskir beisel lachedim, if he rented out his house to other people, hari hen shel secher ha'achrein. The money which is found on the inside half of the wall belongs to the last person that rented the house, not to the owner of the house, because the only reason the owner has a right to it is that it's most likely he placed it there. Should he have had somebody renting the house, it is most likely that the renter placed it there, and therefore the owner of the house has no more right to it than anyone else. Therefore, the one that found the money would own this which was in the outside half of the wall, and this which is on the inside half of the wall would belong to the last renter. Furthermore, any of these laws apply only if it still has the law of a private house. Should he make his house into a hotel or an inn, he loses any claim whatsoever. Even the renter would lose claim to any money. Since there are so many people that are utilizing the house, even on the inside of the house, who is to say that the owner of the house or the renter of the house, who has made his house into an inn for many people, he has any more right to the money on the inside than anyone else? Therefore, ve'imi skiru l'shleisha goyim ka'achas. If he rented out this house simultaneously to three different non-Jews, hariyaso pundak, he puts this house in the halachic status of a pundak, an inn. And since so many people are going inside and out, in this case three non-Jews, therefore, v'kola nimsabay, anything found within the wall, afilu b'seichabayis, and even something found within the house itself, harei hu shel meitzon, belongs to the one that found it. Mipnei she'ein echad yochel litein she'ein shelei. Nobody has a valid claim to say that it's his object, or shehu taman, or that he hid this object within the wall. Sharei yaso pundak, the house has been made into an inn, and there are so many people traveling in and out, that it is just like an object which is found out in the public domain, or is found on the outside half of the wall. Many people are passing by the outside of the wall. Many people are passing by the inside of the wall. And just as in the outside of the wall, whoever did put the object there has already been miyayish, he has given up hope, assuming that a non-Jew has found the object and has kept it for himself, so too on the inside of the wall, since it has become a pundak, he assumes that one of the non-Jews took the object and he has given up hope of getting it back. Therefore, the owner of the house has lost any claim to this object. There has been complete yiyush, just like the outside of the wall, and therefore, whoever finds the object gets to keep it.